Good morning. How good it is to be together on this last Sunday of October, All Hallows Eve or Halloween, and Reformation Sunday. And of course, the music that we will be hearing throughout worship will remind us that it is Reformation Sunday. As we gather, may you always be very aware that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and to share God's love with you. A few important announcements before we actually enter into worship. Just a note, all of the months in our 2022 calendar have been sponsored, so thanks to those of you who stepped up to sponsor a month, and we can look forward to receiving our new 2022 calendars in the month of December. A reminder also that 2 weeks from today, November 14th, is Stewardship Sunday, when we will be officially dedicating our covenant commitment cards. You'll remember there is a basket on the communion table where you may place your little blue forms that you received with your October Enlightener. If you can't find your form or it has gotten lost in the shuffle, feel free to claim one of the extra ones that is on the communion table. We encourage you to take time to prayerfully, carefully consider your support of St. John's in the coming year, to fill out that little form and then place it on the communion table, either this Sunday, next, or waiting until the 14th. A reminder, too, that next Sunday will be All Saints Sunday, when during worship we will remember loved ones, church members, family members, friends of the congregation, who have passed in the last year. If you want to make sure that your loved one is on our list of names that we will be sharing and sounding a chime in honor and in memory of those persons, don't hesitate to call the church office and speak with Lisa just to make sure we don't overlook someone important. And finally, as we get ready to step into a new month, there are new carryout connection goodies out in the narthex. This month it is bags, not boxes, and if you have a child or grandchild who would benefit from participating in our Sunday school program, make sure you claim a carryout connection bag, all kinds of neat things inside of it this month, and sign the clipboard there so Pastor Addie knows who has claimed a bag and where they are ending up. I believe that's all of the announcements for this morning. So I'm going to invite you to join with me in taking a deep breath. As we breathe in the wonderful presence of God here in our midst, as we hold on to that, and as we let go of or breathe out the things that are weighing us down and distracting us, as we are together here now, may we sense God close at hand. Amen. Our theme today comes directly from the scripture lesson that you will hear Pastor Addie reading in just a few moments. Wherever you go are essentially the words of Ruth, who in refusing to return to her homeland of Moab, promises to remain with her mother-in-law, Naomi, no matter what. She says, "Where you go, I will go." That is quite a promise. But it is precisely the promise God makes to each one of us. It reminds me of the classic children's story written by Margaret Wise Brown, entitled The Runaway Bunny. Perhaps you know it. The story begins with these words. Once there was a bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, "I am going to run away." And she replies, "If you run away, I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." And no matter where or how he describes running away, his mother assures him that she will find him. Because, well, that's just how much she loves him. No matter where we run away to, either intentionally or unintentionally, God will pursue us with a gentle determination that is hard to ignore. Because, well, that's just how much God loves us. With this assurance, and seeking to be fed and nurtured as we come together, we enter now into worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying our prayer of confession, which is printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. Strong Mother God, warm Father God, like a loving parent, you pursue us wherever we go, ever eager to draw us close and help us find our way. Yet we resist. In our youth, we seek freedom and independence, convinced we know far more than we do. In our middle years, it is easy to become swept up by the demands of the world and its pressures to achieve and gain more. As we grow older, we turn inward, often so wearied by life that we cease looking for you and listening for your voice. Forgive us, gracious God, and fill us with a willingness to trust you that your pursuit of us is always motivated by love and your deep desire to make us whole. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is because God loves us so much that God offers the gift of forgiveness freely, generously, not a single string attached. Friends in Christ, we are forgiven. Today we get to start out fresh and new. The slate has been wiped clean. May we dare to claim this gift. May we live knowing that it makes a difference. May we allow it to impact our lives every single day. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. And as Reverend Sue said, our second reading is from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they are grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. As always, I have a special little message for our children and, of course, our young at heart of all ages. Now, when I think back on my years in elementary school and middle school and high school, I have some great memories, with one exception. Twice a year, in gym class, we had to go outside, line up around the track, and run the mile. Do you still do that in gym class? Do you run the mile? I have to be honest, I always hated running the mile. Not only did it make my face bright red and sweaty in the middle of the school day, but I just wasn't very good at it. I was slow, and I didn't really care about beating any of the speed records because I knew I couldn't, and I just didn't enjoy it. In fact, I think I probably ended up walking most of it. Now, the funny part that I am aware of is that Andrew is, in fact, training to run an actual marathon in just a few weeks, and I'm standing up here complaining about running a mile many years ago, but what can I say? We can't all be runners. But I'll be cheering you on from here. You know what got me through that dreaded mile, though? My friends. Even though I sort of cringe when I think back on middle school gym class, I immediately smile, thinking about the people who came alongside me to encourage me, to talk to me, to distract me, to listen to my whining, and to get me across the finish line. I know that some of them even slowed their own pace just to hang back and jog with me. I hope I told them then how much I appreciated them. But if I didn't, let me say now. Friends who come alongside you, who don't leave your side, who slow down and stay with you, who promise to help you cross the finish line, who stick with you no matter what, those are the best friends to have. I thought of running, well, walking the mile with my friends when I read our scripture lesson from the book of Ruth. The story of Ruth and Naomi is all about a stick-with-you-no-matter-what kind of friendship. It is a story of loyalty and companionship and love and friendship between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. You see, Ruth marries Naomi's son, but sadly, he dies. And since he was their only connection to one another, Naomi tells Ruth to go back to her people. But Ruth insists on staying with Naomi. "Wherever you go, I will go too," she says. Together, they build a relationship stronger than just mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. It was a deep friendship. I imagine that just like my gym class friends, they encouraged one another, talked to one another. They probably listened to each other's whining a bit, but ultimately, they stuck by each other through thick and thin when things were really hard and when things were really hopeful. I think Ruth and Naomi would agree that even though their journey of friendship didn't take place around a track, having someone walk with us through life and through challenging situations truly makes all the difference in the world. Do you have friends who walk beside you? Think of them now. Who makes you smile and helps you to keep going when you'd rather just call it quits? How can we be friends who stick by those we love no matter what? All really important questions to think about as fellow travelers on the journey and as followers of Jesus. In your carryout connections this week, you're going to be making something that will remind you of this story of Ruth and what it teaches us about walking with our friends. We hope that this story and this craft remind you to be thankful for those who walk beside you and to give thanks for a God who goes where we go, no matter where life takes us. Just a reminder before we close in prayer, as Reverend Sue said, your November carryout bags are ready for pickup. There's a table in the narthex to grab on your way out, or you can come by my office anytime during the week. And there's a very special reason why they're in paper bags this month, so be sure to check that out. You'll notice that the November bag only has 3 lessons in it rather than 4, which is because we have a special Advent bag coming out. And Advent is already the last Sunday in November, so keep your ears open about that. So let's close in prayer. And we will end in saying our Lord's Prayer together, as always. God, thank you for friends who walk with us, who come alongside us, encourage us, keep us going, help us to face challenges, and who make all the difference on the journey. We are grateful for your son, Jesus, who showed us how to be a friend, and for your love that reminds us that just as we walk beside others, we never walk alone either. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Thank you.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, we do not walk alone, something we are very aware of in the quiet and beauty of this place. In the quiet of this moment, we are listening for you. Open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, and open our eyes, that in the midst of my words, your word might be clearly heard and understood. May we have the courage and the desire to act upon it. Amen. I'm curious, what motivates you to act? Some people are motivated by fear. Some are motivated by bitterness, anger, even hatred. Some are motivated by a sense of duty or ought. Still others are motivated by a sense of desperation and the need to survive. Yet of this I am persuaded. When it comes to living by God's commands for us, when it comes to living our lives well each day, doing what is right and good in God's sight, if we are not motivated by love, we are sunk. If we do what we do out of anger, if we do what we do out of a sense of ought or duty alone, if we do what we do because we have no other way to turn, we will be sunk. Love needs to be our motivator if our actions are to last and make a difference. That message is clearly communicated in both today's Hebrew scripture lesson and in our gospel lesson. So I'd like to invite you to join me in taking a closer look at these passages of scripture to see what we might learn together about a love that motivates and sustains and enables us to live and be our very best. Let's begin with Ruth's message. I'm wondering, did you know that in the Bible there are 66 books, but only two of them are named after women? Do you know which two? I see heads nodding. One is Esther, and one is Ruth. What makes Ruth especially unique is that she was a foreigner, a book of the Bible named after a foreigner. Esther was of the Hebrew people, but Ruth was a Moabite. And in the story bearing her name, we encounter both that which is heart-wrenching and heartwarming. Let me assure you that the story of Ruth is far more than a love story. It is far more than an ancient version of Thelma and Louise. It is a story of incredible courage, determination, resilience, and companionship. Let's set this in a context. The time frame, it was the time of judges, and a time when famine ruled the land. Naomi and her husband Elimelech lived in Judah, in Bethlehem to be exact. There was a famine there. In order to eat, they had to leave their homeland and travel a great distance to Moab, where they settled in, along with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. It wasn't long after they settled in Moab that Elimelech died. His two sons married Moabite women, but they too eventually died, leaving Naomi with no one, nothing. She had lost everything that mattered, much like Job and his wife, about whom we read in the book of Job. Naomi had lost all that gave her life meaning and security, We also have the sense that she lost her faith in the God whose hand seemed to be decidedly turned against her. Finally, word came that the famine was over, that she could return to her homeland, which she resolved to do because she figured she had nothing to lose. Everything that mattered to her was gone, and even though the journey back to Bethlehem would be a perilous one, she was going to give it a try. And even though the homeland to which she was returning would be nothing like the homeland she left, she was resolved to head that way. As she started out on her journey, her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, accompanied her. But they hadn't gone far when Naomi said to the two women, "Look, I have nothing to offer you. I have no wealth, no resources. I have no sons. Even if I were to remarry and have children, you're not going to wait for them to grow up to marry them. Your entire lives are ahead of you. Go back to your homeland. Remarry. Start over." The women protest, but finally Orpah takes her advice. She kisses her mother-in-law goodbye and heads back to Moab. Ruth, however, refuses to leave. Now, lest we pass judgment on Orpah for abandoning her mother-in-law, let me point out that we can all hear the same information and come to different conclusions, make different choices. We can all hear the same information and decide that what may be right for you isn't right for me, that what is God's will for you may not be God's will for me. And that is precisely what Orpah and Ruth decide. They hear the same thing, but they make different decisions. Ruth makes an intentional choice to stay with her mother-in-law, Naomi, knowing full well that Naomi had absolutely nothing to offer her. No legal bonds kept these women connected now that their husbands were gone, but there was something that bonded these women together that went deeper than any law or requirement. These two women were bound together by their shared tragedy. Ruth and Naomi knew what it was like to have lost what mattered most to them. Ruth's commitment to Naomi flouted all the norms of the day, but then Naomi's son's marriage to foreign women had also flouted the norms. Ruth insists upon journeying with Naomi to Bethlehem, which I'm sure baffled Naomi. Why? Because Naomi didn't value herself now that she no longer occupied the role she once did. In that day and time, a woman without a husband, a woman without sons, had nothing. And yet Ruth pursues her. Ruth sees her value apart from these things, and Ruth promises her unreserved and unconditional love, a gift and a promise. Two women sticking together against great odds. Two women joined in their grief who end up turning things around, who choose to reframe the tragedy that has struck their lives, who choose to move forward against all odds. Gilbert Rendell, in reflecting on this passage of Scripture, likens what these two women did to what perhaps we need to do in these troubling times. He writes, "What if the questions we now face are not the product of things gone wrong, but rather of the world grown different?" Think about that. What if the questions we now face are not the product of things gone wrong, but rather of a world grown different? We have the sense that Ruth and Naomi knew that the world that they now lived in was decidedly different from the one they were leaving behind. And they were willing to face that and do something about it. Rendell goes on to write, "We need a hope made wise by experience and undaunted by disappointment. We need an anxiety about the future that shows us new ways to look at new things, but does not unnerve us. I am certain Ruth and Naomi had an anxiety about the future. They must have. They had no idea how things were going to unfold, but it didn't unnerve them. In fact, it empowered them to make some pretty brave and courageous decisions. And if you were to read through the book of Ruth, and it's not very long, I recommend it to you, you would discover that Ruth ends up finding a life partner in a man named Boaz, all as a result of her resourcefulness and that of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And then you read on and you discover that Ruth and Boaz have a son named Obed. Obed becomes the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David, and Jesus is of the house and lineage of David, which means Ruth had something to do with Jesus coming on the scene. Little did these two world-weary women realize what a significant role they would play in the unfolding of God's story for humankind. All because of their willingness to stick together, to love each other, and to be motivated by that love as they moved forward against great odds. They understood about learning from the past, but they also understood about the need to look forward. In the words of Soren Kierkegaard, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. Love is what motivated Naomi and Ruth. It motivated them to keep on keeping on. And it is what enables us as people of faith to do the same, to keep the commands God has given us, to live by them, and to live well. Which brings us to today's gospel lesson, including the most important commands of all. We know these words from Scripture, but let me put our lesson today from Mark in a context. Just prior to Jesus sharing these great commandments, he has been engaged in debate with the learned religious leaders of his day, men who just loved to debate with Jesus for the sake of debating with Jesus, often with the hopes of tripping him up or catching him in a misstatement. But what becomes clear as we read the debate is that these learned religious leaders were no match for the peasant rabbi Jesus. As the story unfolds, we get this sense that there is a scribe that has been sort of sitting in the background listening to the debate when he finally chooses to speak up. He has a question for Jesus, and his desire is not to debate with Jesus, but rather to truly hear his answer. I also have the sense that he knew the answer to his question before he asked it, but he genuinely wanted to know what Jesus would say. Jesus, of all the commandments, which one is the greatest? What's most important? And we know how Jesus responded. He began with words that were familiar to all of the Jewish people. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall worship the Lord your, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your spirit." And there's a second command like it. "You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." I sort of chuckle when the scribe responds. He says to Jesus, essentially, "Good answer," not the other way around. But then Jesus' response to the scribe warms my heart. He looks at that scribe and says to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Can you imagine what that scribe must have felt like when Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom"? Such incredible good news is a bit like hearing someone say to you, "You've just won the lottery," or "You've just been cured of your disease," or "You've just been admitted to the college of your choice," or "You've just been given a huge raise." You are not far from the kingdom. In many respects, this scribe is a bit different from his fellow scribes. Eager to debate, certainly knowledgeable about the law and all of its rules, but they didn't seem to know it in their heart of hearts. You see, it's one thing to obey God's commands. It's another thing to know them and embody them, to have them be a part of who you are and how you act all the time. I don't know about you, but I want to be someone who is not far from the kingdom, someone who senses Jesus close at hand, who feels his presence not just when we are in beautiful settings such as this one, but wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We can all be close to the kingdom, but what that will require is being motivated by love. Love of God, love of neighbor. In both of the great commands, there are the words love. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mother Teresa of Calcutta reminds us that none of us can do great things, but all of us can do small things with great love. And that is ultimately what matters. Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote, "Do things for people not because of who they are or what they do in return. Do things for people because of who you are." And my prayer is that who we are is a people motivated by love. Not just some of the time, but all of the time. Motivated by love, we are called to love God and our neighbor with all that we are, with all that we have, in all that we do. I say, let's get started now. Amen.
Please be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I have some joys and quite a few concerns to lift up that have been shared with us in our book throughout the week. There is a rose on the communion table this morning, and that is celebrating the birth of a daughter, Max Lilu Gordon, to Becky and Adam Gordon on October 26th. Becky and Adam are often at our 10:15 service. You may have actually met their son, Jack, before you met them. He likes to make the rounds. So we celebrate with Becky and Adam. And Jack. Judy Wright celebrates her birthday today, and Mary Lou Lutter celebrated her birthday this past week. So we keep them in our prayers and we celebrate with them. A few concerns to lift up. We keep Charlie Jewell in our prayers. He was taken to Lansdale Hospital this morning, and we also keep, of course, Marge, his wife, in our prayers as she is by his side. Our knitters who provided our prayer shawls last week like to always list those who received them and who picked them up in our prayers for this week so that we can continue to surround them with our prayers. So those who prayers requested for these people who received prayer shawls last week. The Evans family, Ida, Judy, and Greta, all from Lansdale, and Lauren, Wilson, Rhett, Scott, and Amanda from Wilmington, Delaware. So we keep all of them in our prayers. We keep in our prayers Jackie Huntsberger, who is in Abington Hospital, for Betty Elliott's nephew, who is battling COVID. Bev Fink asked us to pray for Marion Fletcher, who is having bypass surgery tomorrow. And the McMullins have asked for prayers for their daughter's friend, Sarah, who recently had surgery that unfortunately has left her paralyzed, and she is dealing also with some depression. Lots to lift up in prayer this morning, and of course we all come to this time of worship and prayer and in this safety of this space with our own joys and concerns on hearts and minds. So I invite you to think of those now, bring them to mind as we lift them up to God together in prayer. Gracious God, we come to you today thankful for your stick with us love, a love that promises to come alongside us, to meet us where we are, and never leave us there. We are aware of all the ways that your loving presence sustains us day in and day out. There are times, however, when that love feels far away, when the busyness of life pulls us away from you, when tragedy or sadness or grief puts a wall up between us, when life just seems to fly by and take us with it. When we look away, O God, when we turn our backs, when we avoid accepting and offering your love, when we choose to be motivated by fear, by prejudice, by selfishness, or greed, or anger, or bitterness, refocus us, renew us, revive our spirits, guide our hearts towards that which is good and just and filled with your compassion. God, each of us has hearts and minds full of thoughts and prayers, names and faces of loved ones in need of your healing or your presence, stress that weighs heavy on us, problems in need of solutions. In the midst of all of this, God, be here with us and fill these spaces with your abiding presence. We pray for people in our community who need to feel the warm embrace of that love. We think of those in the hospital, those struggling for many different reasons, those whose hearts are heavy with grief, with regret, with sadness, those who are waiting, those whose spirits are weary. God, we also pray for those celebrating life's joys, birthdays, anniversaries, milestones, new life, reasons for family and friends to gather, to give thanks, and to find hope in the midst of the journey. God, your love makes a way where there is no way. Creates space in the most closed-off conditions, and shows us a way forward when we feel like we've hit a dead end. And that same love is the most precious gift we can give back to you and offer your people. Help us to live out and live into that love each and every day, knowing that you walk beside us each step of the way. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
As you entered the sanctuary this morning for worship, you placed your offering in the offering plates by the doors. We pause now to dedicate those gifts as we join together in singing our doxology. Generous and loving God, all that we have, all that we are gifts from you, and for that we give thanks. Even as we dedicate these gifts now, we ask your blessing upon them and upon us, as we seek to be instruments of your love, as we seek to do your work in a world that desperately needs to feel your touch. May we, in our living, in our giving, in our loving, in our serving, reflect that love day in and day out, not just when we are here together in this place, but in the living of our lives each day. All of these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Wherever you go, God will go with you. So wherever this day takes you, wherever tomorrow takes you, wherever the remainder of the week takes you, know that wherever you go, God goes. That's a promise, because God loves you that much. No matter how many challenges you may face in the days to come, may knowing that give you strength and hope when all seems hopeless. May that be your blessed assurance. And as you go, may God's light surround you. May God's love enfold you. May God's power protect you. And may God's peace sustain you, now and always. Amen.